Socrates said that you actually never teach anybody anything they don't already know. That education is about shining light into people's, not the depths of their ignorance, but into what they know, but it is sitting adumbrated in the shadows. And so I'm going to tell you things this morning that you already know. You knew it before you walked in here, and it was reinforced by virtually every candle that was lit. It's an easy sermon to do because it's true, and in some ways we've all heard iterations of it. And that's the question. So whether there's a good economy or a bad economy, whether you are rolling in money or your credit line has been reduced to the negative, the truth is that there are very few gifts that are worth giving. But the three that are clearly worth giving are life, love, and time. Being with each other. It isn't about presence, it's about presence. It's about being present to and with each other. It is the choice of what we give each other from our hearts and from our time. Gifts of things are fun. I like unwrapping. Well, that's not true. I like ripping wrapping paper, and I love a nice new sweater or a nice tie or something pretty and something wonderful. That's fun, but it's not important. It doesn't spiritually nourish us. It's very important to be able to distinguish between love and its symbol. At best, presence, meaning gift, are symbols of affection and symbols of connection. At worst, they are substitutes. They are buying off guilt. They're a substitute for being with each other. They're a substitute for real time and real connection. A diamond, as I explained to my wife last night when we were on our date, we were celebrating the 18th anniversary of our first date. As I explained to her, a diamond is a symbol of love. It is not love. And that's a crucial distinction for all of us to know what's important in what we have to offer each other. And for me and what I experience in my professional life, I know that it is about time. It is about memories. Being in the clergy business, I do funerals and memorial services. And it will not surprise you to learn that not once when attending somebody in a hospital or in hospice as they were dying, did they ever talk about how much easier it was to die because there are Picassos on the wall and Ferraris in the garage. Not once in dealing with families in grief situations did anyone ever talk about the things. They talked about the time. They talked about trips taken. They talked about all of the ways that the person whom they love in the present tense, gave of who he or she was by being present. And if those were rare moments, they were treasured. And if they were constant moments, they were celebrated with true ecstasy. It's not shocking for any clergy person in any denomination to say that life is not manifest at its deepest level in things. In the book of Ecclesiastes that I referenced briefly last week, Koheleth, the son of the king in Jerusalem, it is claimed, says, you know, I tried every way of finding the meaning in life. I tried power, and it disappeared. It ran through my fingers. The eye is never filled with seeing. The ear is never filled with hearing. There's always some emptiness. That I tried pleasure. I built walled pleasure gardens, the first use of the word paradise. and it was only fleeting. Even wisdom, even knowledge disappears, and what you are left with is to do what it is given to you to do with as much enthusiasm as possible, and sharing your time and your bread as you eat and drink and are merry with someone or with people whom you love. Life is lived with people. It's not about I. It's about we. And we, in the we sense of W-E, if I can quote Rick Mastin, our late troubadour, it's in the we, the W-H-E-E-E-E, or in the French O-U-I, as we as yes. Those we's are the ways that we lead our lives. When I think back over what has been important to me, the gifts that I have received over my lifetime, I can't remember the moments of gift exchanges. I don't have a great nostalgia for what's the name of the slave? For Rosebud. There's no Rosebud from Citizen Kane in my life. I don't need to find a thing. I remember a chemistry set and the attempt to make gunpowder. We won't talk about that. I remember lots of things only in the background, but none of any importance. What I do remember is my father taking me out of school to watch John Glenn's first blast off, taking me out of school again. I remember all the times I wasn't in school. Taking me out of school for the first Dodger game in the LA Coliseum. And the time that he spent with me in doing things like that. And incidentally, I was seated next to Joe Louis. And that was pretty impressive, too. I remember my father taking me to the Indianapolis 500, and that was a real gift of his time, and not to mention the cost of it, because he didn't care a bit about automobile racing. It was a gift of his time to me. I remember the great gift of dinner in my parents' home, because politics was discussed and the children were listened to and given respect. The gift of attention, of listening to the kids, of empowering the kids as if we had something valuable that we could understand and transmit back to them, was one of the most precious gifts of all. I remember my mother's great gift of time to me when she entered me into the first speech tournament I ever participated in, and it was supposed to be impromptu. But we knew the six categories, and so she supervised me writing six speeches and memorizing them. Whether that's cheating or not is a theological issue that we can go on at great depth. But her concern and her time and her wisdom were all there. And those are things that I carry and that I cherish. Those are the moments of we, where we live having spent time together. I have found as I've grown up that this great gift is sometimes a gift that you're a little hesitant to give. When my wife says, "So, honey, do you want to go to the ballet?" Now, I have a choice, and we might get some interesting discussion on this. I have a choice. I can say no, and the condition my back's in, the couch would be really uncomfortable. I can say yes and drag my feet and get no credit whatsoever, or I can say yes with enthusiasm. So the question is that yes with enthusiasm hypocritical? And the answer is no, because it's not hypocritical for me to give something of my time and attention to somebody else, if I'm giving it with joy. If I have changed the focus from my own impulse, what do I want to do today? Well, I'd like to have the clicker and watch three NFL games, to I'm going to go to the ballet, and my joy will be in your pleasure. That is a gift worth giving. That is the real generosity, not simply of time. Yeah, I'll go to the ballet. You really want to do that, huh? Or, yes, I'll go and I will take my pleasure from your pleasure. Those are the gifts that we have. Those are the gifts that are worth sharing, and those are the gifts of we. We together, giving of our substance, of our hearts, of our will, and of our time, because that's where life is lived, and that is where love is not symbolized, but love is made. When we say we, you and I, we with the enthusiasm, and we with the yes to each other, and to each other's needs and desires and wounds and joys. And that's why one of the many reasons that we come together in celebration with one another, to give each other yeses, to give each other support, to do difficult things that it might not occur to us to do, other than it feels so good to watch somebody else's eyes light up because we're there and we said yes, and something magical happens in those moments. And the light in our eyes when we are present to one another, not doing presence, but present to one another, lights our own hearts, our own world, and is self-fulfilling. And it is a spark that we nurture by the various yeses that we say to one another into a flame that warms our world and lights our way in whatever winters our souls may encounter.